Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Aren't you glad for that? Here's some disciples. They had some faith they wanted to exercise, but the Lord said to them, and that's the title of the message this morning, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Today we want to talk about how to have victory in the Spirit. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today. May it be alive to us, and may we have, through the power of your Holy Spirit today, discernment to discern our spirits. And that, Lord, we would have the Spirit that would be a joy to be around. So we ask for your blessing and anointing in Jesus' name, we pray. And then, Lord, we ask for those that I know of that are not feeling well today, for Della and Della Lathe, and for Dorothy Burton. Lord, we ask for your touch upon them, and any others that may be ill today, we ask, Lord, that you would reach down and touch them in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome Debbie McLean's grandparents are here today with us visiting, and understand that they are going to be going to South Dakota and be involved in some church planting. So God's blessing be upon them as they take on that huge endeavor for the Lord. I want you to notice our text here today. In verse 55, the words of red, if you have that in your Bible, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Notice that Jesus didn't say, you don't realize what you're saying. Jesus said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. The meaning is, you don't realize the spirit that is coming from you. You don't realize that your spirit is putting off something. It's emitting something. It's revealing something about you. Today I want to talk about this area of the spirit. We don't hear much about this. In fact, it's something that's very hard to define. When we talk about the spirit of a person, it's hard to lay a handle on what that really is. We want to discuss that today because my prayer is that we all have victory in the Spirit, and I think by the end of the message, you will see why that is important. First of all, the Bible mentions both personal and impersonal spirits. The Greek word pneuma, translated spirit, may be used in relation to the personal Holy Spirit in one verse. It might be a personal evil spirit in another verse, or it might be an impersonal spirit of, for example, meekness or truth or holiness, and so on in other verses. The phrase spirit of occurs 139 times in the Bible. For us to properly understand this, we need to realize that there is a division between your spirit, good and bad spirits, whether they are personal or impersonal, and these spirits will affect your spirit. The Holy Spirit affects your spirit. Demonic spirits affect your spirit. Those are personal spirits, but they're also impersonal spirits. Sometimes people might have a spirit of discouragement, and you know that they are discouraged. And if you're a little bit tired yourself, that discouraged spirit might have an effect on your spirit so that you become discouraged. And then the spirit that others sense coming from your spirit. This is not necessarily a demonic or an angelic spirit. It's simply what other people observe coming from your spirit. Let me try to illustrate it with this illustration. A mother noticed that her obnoxious little boy had become kind and considerate after spending much time around a certain teacher. She said, what does Mrs. Smith do to teach you to be polite, Johnny. She doesn't do anything, Mom. She just walks around and we feel polite. You understand the spirit that was coming from that teacher? So that the class understood and felt that spirit and they responded properly to her spirit. That's what I'm talking about today. It's difficult to understand the unseen functions of the spirit. The spirit, the pneuma, is the home of the conscience. It's the home of faith. It's the home of genuine love. It's the home of wisdom, discernment, drive, creativity, joy, enthusiasm. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Be fervent in spirit." Now there's a close relationship between the heart and the spirit, and I have a little diagram here that I hope will make this a little bit clearer to you. There is a relationship between the heart and spirit. The heart is the center of human life. I don't know if you can see that. It's pretty light up there. But the heart is the center of human life and spiritual activity. It's the control center of our thoughts, wills, emotions, actions, and words. Proverbs 23 says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Because the heart is the control center. It controls the actions. It controls you. The heart, the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. In fact, over 20 passages of Scripture describe a very close relationship between the heart and the spirit of a person. Let me share with you a few of those passages. Psalm 51 and verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Psalm 51 and verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Psalm 77 and verse 6, "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." Proverbs 15:13, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." Isaiah 57 and verse 15, "To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Ezekiel 36:26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, a New Testament verse we are very familiar with. "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Okay, so the Bible can penetrate our spirit. It can also penetrate our heart. And those are just a few of the verses where we see that heart and spirit are closely related. Number two, we must try the spirit coming from ours and other people's spirits. We have to try the spirit. Why? To make sure that they are of God. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." The context means that we should try the spirits to see if they are from God or Satan, but the principle would carry over even further. This would mean that you and I must try, test, and examine and scrutinize the spirit coming from our own spirit as well as the spirit that comes from other people's spirits. Now, James and John were good men. They were righteous men. They were men with good motives. They wanted to see the Lord glorified. These were men who wanted to please Jesus. But Jesus had to look at them when they wanted to call down fire from heaven and consume their enemies. He had to say to them, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." Jesus was saying, you don't realize the spirit that is coming from you. You don't realize the spirit that your spirit is putting off or emitting or revealing. Number three, there is a great possibility that we may not realize it when our spirit is putting off the wrong spirit. We may not realize it when our spirit is putting off the wrong spirit. James and John didn't realize that. And their anger was so intense and severe that they wanted to destroy an entire village of people. Think about Proverbs 16 and verse 2 here. "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." The Lord weigheth the spirit. Our ways are clean. James and John thought that what they were doing wanted to do would be a good thing, would be a right thing. It was a clean thing in their eyes. But it was the Lord who weighed their spirit and said to them, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Jesus dealt with the possibility of our being blinded to major faults in our own life, especially in our relationships with others. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3, Jesus said, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? So how could anyone have a huge log in his eye and not know it? How could anybody have a beam in his eye and not know it? James and John did. And you and I may as well. How easy it is to see the mote of our wife's lack of respect and not see the beam of our own anger. Or how easy it is to see the mote of our children's disobedience or stubbornness and yet not see the beam that comes in our own lives. We might be putting off a spirit here today that we're not aware of. Others might sense a wrong spirit coming from us. We don't sense that. Number 4, victory in the area of the spirit others sense coming from you is more important than victory in the area of actions others see you doing. That's a mouthful. Let me say it again. Victory in the area of the spirit others sense coming from you is more important than victory in the area of actions others see you doing. It's more important for people to feel the right spirit from you than it is even for them to see right actions. Let's go here, because it's good to obey the letter of the law, but it's better to obey the spirit of the law. Galatians 5:18 says, but if ye led of the spirit, if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. It's good to obey the letter of the law. It's better to obey the spirit of the law. Moses went up on the mountain. The Lord gave him the Ten Commandments. He gave him the letter of the law. Jesus came along and he climbed another mountain. And this time he gave the spirit of the law, which was more important. The letter of the law, for example, our commandment today, the letter of the law said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, let me teach you the spirit of that law. The spirit of the law is you should not look at a woman to lust after her, or you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. You see how the spirit of the law is much more intense, much more fine-tuned than the letter of the law. And the fact is that if we obey and keep the spirit of the law, we will have no trouble keeping the actions in the right place. If our spirit is right, our actions will also be right. It's easy to be deceived in this area and feel like we're doing fine because we obey the letter of the law, but disobey the spirit of the law. Jesus dealt with the Pharisees in this area in Matthew 23:23, when he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. See, Jesus is mentioning how precise the Pharisees were in their tithing. Mint is a spice that grows in Palestine. Anise was a kind of dill. It grew both wild and cultivated. The seeds of cumin is another seasoning spice. Jesus noticed that they paid tithes of these. These were the most trivial and insignificant products on the earth. The Pharisees would be careful to tithe of these minor items, yet they completely overlooked the major things, the more important things. All of God's things are weighty. But some things are more weighty than others. You understand what I'm saying? All of what God has to say is important. They are weighty. But some of the things in the Christian life are more important, are more weighty than other things. Outward form is not as important as inward character. What you do is not as important as what you are. What you believe is not as important as in whom you place your trust and your belief. And again, if we get the spirit right, if we form inward character, our outward form will follow. If we become the kind of people that God wants us to be, we will do the right things. And if we truly believe in Jesus Christ, whom God has sent, and believe in the teachings of His Word, we will become what we believe. If you get the spirit right, the actions will eventually take care of themselves. But on the other hand, just getting certain actions right does not mean that the spirit is right. or getting certain actions right doesn't mean that other actions will be right. Note that the spirit of obedience is more important than the letter of obedience. I'm sure that most of you have heard the story of the little boy who defiantly obeyed and sat down when he was told to do so, but then said to his mother, "But I'm still standing up on the inside." You see, he obeyed the letter, but he did not obey in the spirit of that command. What I'm trying to say to you today is that when we obey the spirit of the law, and we watch our own spirits, then the law, the letter of the law, the actions, the outward actions will take care of themselves. Is it possible today that some might be like James and John? See, the truth is that where there is victory in the spirit, there is far more likely to be victory in the outward manifestations. But Jesus looked at James and John, who wanted to call down fire from heaven, and he said to them, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." Is it possible today that there is somebody here, or maybe more than one, maybe there's a few that are emitting or putting off or revealing a wrong spirit, something that you don't even know about today? Is that a possibility in your life? Is it a possibility that others sense something coming from you that you don't sense, that you don't know about in your own life, like James and John? Number 5, how to have victory in the Spirit. How to have victory in the Spirit. In order for us to understand and then have victory in the Spirit, I'd like to take you back to the relationship between the Spirit and the heart and the outer man, which is set over against the heart. Heart. Got harp on my mind. Heart. Worship that one gives with his lips. Outer, visible, audible worship. When his heart, the inner, the invisible, the inaudible, is far from God, is a good example of this contrast. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." The scriptures instruct that man looks on the outward appearance, but in contrast, God looks on the heart. Heart in the Bible is the inner life. To illustrate this contrast between the inner man, the heart and the spirit, and the outer man, the lips, the mouth, the tongue, etc., let's consider the analogy of a picture. We have a picture. We have actually 3 of them there before you this morning, but this picture has a mouth. It has lips, so it has an outside, but it also has an inside. It also has a container. It's a container that holds something within it. Whatever substance is contained in this container, in this reservoir, will pour out of the spout when the pitcher is poured. So if the pitcher is filled with water, what do you think will come out? You are right. This is a very simple illustration here today. The pitcher is filled with water, water will come out. If the pitcher is filled with pop, Dr. Thunder, what will come out? Pop, Dr. Thunder. If the pitcher is filled with Kool-Aid, what do you think will come out? Kool-Aid. Now notice this pitcher right here is a little bit clearer. Some have purer hearts than others. A pure heart is a heart that is unmixed. It is more easily to be seen. And some have purer hearts than others, and so you can almost tell what's in their heart by looking at them, just by their fruits. So whatever is inside is going to come out. If I had a pitcher today filled with iced tea, what would come out? If I had a pitcher that was filled with milk, what would come out? If I had a pitcher that was filled with foolishness, what would come out? If I had a pitcher of pride, what would come out? If I had a pitcher of anger, what would come out? Solomon used the analogy similar to the pitcher when he said in Proverbs 15:2, "The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth or spouts out foolishness." He said, if the foolishness is bound in the heart, then when you pour the child out upside down, foolishness will come out and it'll be obvious to all. If your heart is filled with wisdom, what will flow out of your mouth? Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If your heart is filled with righteousness, what will flow out of your mouth? Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. If your heart is filled with virtue, what will flow out of your mouth? Virtue. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Proverbs 22:11. If your heart is filled with meekness, what will flow out of your mouth? 1 Peter 3:4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not corruptible, but the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Unlike the contents of, especially the center picture there, the human heart cannot be seen by man. It's more like these colored pictures. You can't see what's inside them. Your heart cannot be seen by man. Your heart cannot be seen even by yourself. Only God can see the heart. Only God is able to look inside and see what's truly there. Yeah, there's wisdom in that man's heart. And yeah, let's look in there. Yes, oh, there's foolishness in this man's heart. Only God is really able to look at the heart and see what's there. I cannot look at your heart and tell really what's there. There's some things that I could do to help understand what's in your heart, but just looking and observing you, I cannot see your heart. I cannot see your spirit. I can sense your spirit, but I cannot see your spirit. Only God knows for sure. I have a hint by what kind of spirit you put off. I have a hint of what's in your heart. We need to replace those unwanted things in the heart with the wisdom of Scripture. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Notice again the connection between the heart and the mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, and man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So let's say today that I have a wrong spirit that I am putting off. You sense that wrong spirit, but I'm not aware of it. Okay? I really don't know what's there. How can I drive out that which I cannot see? How can I find what's in my heart, in my spirit that should not be there, and drive it out if I can't see it? How can I do that? Good question. I'm glad I asked it. Take a picture of the picture. No, got that backwards. Take a picture of the picture. Take a picture of the picture. Remember I said that we could get a glimpse of what is in the heart by observing that which proceeds out of the heart in the form of words, actions, attitudes. Now here, we need to be careful here because we cannot judge the heart of another. We are not to judge the heart of another, but we can judge our own thoughts and we can judge our own motives. Consider Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. A man should be able to draw out what is in the heart. A man of good understanding will be able to do that, will be able to draw out what is in the heart. That's where we need to get to, folks, in all of our lives. We need to have good understanding so that we can draw out of our own heart and see what is inside. What's the stuff in my heart? By counsel or by asking questions. You know that a good counselor just asks questions. That's what they do. They draw out of you what they need to know. You already have the answer when you go to somebody for counseling, but a counselor will draw that out. And, you know, the good counselors, some of the wise men that I've talked to, they don't even really tell you the answer. They let you talk and they ask questions and you come to realize the answer yourself. Why? Because they are wise. They're men of understanding. They're drawing out of your heart. So learn to ask questions. You can have the necessary data to drive out sin and what should not be there. Now, to the extent that you can draw counsel out of your heart, you will be able to change not only your words, actions, and attitudes, but more importantly, do you know that you can change your thoughts and your motives? And forgive the pun, but that is the heart of the matter when it comes to change. And of course, in order to make an accurate diagnosis of your thoughts and motives, the Scripture has to be employed as a diagnostic tool. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." As you get before the Lord with the Scriptures, the Word of God will be able to penetrate and will be able to reveal to you your thoughts and motives. It will be able to reveal to you what is really in your heart. You'll be able to distinguish what kind of spirit you have by the Word of God. The Word of God is that powerful. It not only changes outward actions, but it also has inward reform. I'm glad for that. I'm glad the Bible just doesn't change my outward appearance. In fact, it does very little to change my outward appearance, but it has a great effect on what's inside of here. It can change my spirit. It can change my character. It can change the stuff that's really important. Like the old song, "Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life." But the reverse of that is also true. Jesus on the outside, working on the inside. Oh, what a change in my life. The only divinely appointed diagnostic manual whereby Christians may be accurately able to judge thoughts and motives is Scripture. And we need to learn how to draw out our thoughts and motives and how to diagnose those thoughts and motives, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. So often it's pride, it's blame shifting, it's idolatry. You know, the Word of God can let you know when that's going on, because it combines spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. 1 Corinthians 2:13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And as you learn to speak truth in your heart, you will gain more control over your spirit. Proverbs 25:28, "He that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." So we should be able to control our spirit. We should be able to control what kind of spirit we are putting off. We should be able to control what kind of spirit others sense coming from us. We should be able to rule. We should be able to control our spirit. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." We should be able to rule our spirit. We should have some control of that. Some people get angry and they say, "I just couldn't help myself. I just blew up. I exploded. Yeah, it wasn't right. It was wrong, but I just couldn't help it." Yes, you can. Yes, you can help it. And you can help what kind of spirit you put off, what you remit. I would like to give you some examples of different kinds of spirits that people put off. Okay, so I'm going to just start up here with Luke. And you're just going to come up to the front and stand up here and hold it out. Hold out the sheet of paper. This is not an exhaustive list. This is many of the different kinds of spirit that people put off. And as you look at this, look today for yourself, okay? Try to take and analyze yourself today. What is coming out of your life? What's in your heart? Start by determining what comes out in words, actions, attitudes. Okay? And then see and discern how people react to you, because they sense the spirit that is coming from you. There's negative things and there's positive things in here, and I'm just going to go right down the row. The spirit of wisdom. Some people have a spirit of wisdom. It's a wise spirit. I don't mean wise guy. But you know that there are certain people, you go around them and you just sense that this person is a wise man of God or woman of God. Can you move down, Luke, so we can get more up here? Okay, who's next? Come on, Travis. Come on, just come right up here. We don't have time to look for volunteers. Spirit of jealousy. Some people have a jealous spirit. This is what Saul had. He had a jealous spirit. He was jealous of David. And this spirit was so strong that he wanted to take David's life. And he tried. He tried to kill David. You know that David was like Saul's spiritual son? And yet this spiritual father wanted to take his son's life. Debbie, a critical spirit. Some people have a critical spirit or a judgmental spirit in the sense that they're always judging, a judging spirit. Critical about everything, and they look for somebody to say something wrong. Because that's the spirit they're of. They just want to criticize. They want to be critical of it. A judgment, spirit of judgment. This is not negative here. This is a positive one. Some people are able to make wise judgments, wise decisions. And you know who they are. You go to them many times. So I'd like to go and talk to this person because, you know, they're very, not only do they have wisdom, but they have good discernment. And they're able to judge and sort through all the confusion and all the facts and present a clear case. The next one, spirit of heaviness. Spirit of heaviness or a discouraged spirit or even a depressed spirit. You know, this one is really strong in our day. Spirit of discouragement. Satan's working overtime to discourage Christians. And you know what? There are times when all of us get discouraged. And we all let off from time to time this from our spirit. But that's what church is for. That hopefully we're not all going to be discouraged at the same time. And some of us will be putting off the right spirit. And so those that come and they're discouraged and they're heavy-hearted, they can come and they could draw from your spirit and be refreshed and encouraged and blessed. Graceful spirit, or the spirit of grace. I'm just going to scoot through most of these. Spirit of holiness, a holy spirit. There are men of God that I know that as soon as I walk in their presence, I just feel the holy presence of God. They have a holy spirit. Spirit of slumber. This is the spirit of laziness. Some people are lazy. They have a spirit of laziness about them. Spirit of faith. There are others that you know, and you sense faith coming from their lives. And these are the kind of people that you call up on the telephone, and you say, when you got a problem, you say, "Will you pray for me? I covet your prayers," because you recognize the faith in their life. A meek spirit. A meek spirit is one who yields his rights. A meek spirit is not one who is angry, but a meek spirit is one who gives in, digs another well, as we talked about. Spirit of fear. Rich. God has not given us the spirit of fear, has he? No, instead he's given us power and love and of a sound mind. But there are some people living in constant fear. And when you're around them, you sense the fear in their life. That is their spirit. That's what they're putting off. Spirit of love, genuine love. And anger. Now, from time to time, my wife has told me, "You're angry." And I have no clue that I am angry because I don't raise my voice. I think I'm talking calm, but she senses the spirit that comes from me, and it's a spirit of anger, even though I didn't have an outburst. You don't have to yell at somebody to be angry. You know that? You don't have to. You put off a spirit of anger. A gentle spirit. Some people are so gentle. You know, you just love to be around them because of their gentleness. And then joyful. These people are also a treat to be around. A joyful spirit. Have you known people that are just joyful and bubbly? And they put off that spirit and you can't help it. You're around them for a while and you become joyful yourself. This one is very similar to me, quiet. My quiet spirit. A meek and quiet spirit in the sight of God is of great price. You know that is a very valuable meekness and quietness. Very valuable in the sight of God. We should pray that we could all let off that kind of spirit. Spirit of courage. Courageous spirit. Yeah, you got to have courage to come up here and grab this paper. Now you got to have courage to come and get this one. Who wants this one? Kathy. A proud and haughty spirit. Sometimes you sense from people that they are just proud. You know, you sense that even from Peter a little bit, don't you? When you read the Gospels, a proud spirit. Though all would forsake you, I won't. I'll never do it. Peter had a proud and haughty spirit. Can you tell me what happens to proud and haughty people? Pride goes before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, as you look at this list today, just read across there. Love, wisdom, jealousy, critical, judgment, heaviness, graceful, holiness, slumber, faith, meek, fear, anger, gentle, joyful, quiet, courageous, and proudy and haughty. You see on there maybe the kind of spirit that you might be putting off. Whether it's negative or positive this morning, that really isn't the important thing. The important thing is to recognize what kind of spirit you might be putting off. Would Jesus say to you today, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of? Could we all work on this? Could we all work to have the right kind of spirit coming from our life that others, when we are around them, they will sense that spirit and they will be blessed rather than torn down? Let's not destroy people. Let's build them up in the kingdom of God by, first of all, watching what kind of spirit we ourselves are putting off. And one thing about these different kinds of spirits, they seem very much to be contagious. They seem to be very contagious. And, you know, you don't want to be around certain people. There's a resistance sometimes. And yet after you get to know people, that's why we're not to make friends with an angry man, with a furious man we shall not go, because we might learn, we might pick up on that spirit. That's not to say that somebody who has a problem with anger once in a while is necessarily an angry man and you can't be friends with them. I'm just saying if that's what they are characterized by and they're always that way, we need to be careful. But the same thing goes with any of these others. You live and dwell with people who are fearful all the time. You start picking up on that. And you start having fear too. Would Jesus say to you today, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of? Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? And with the help of the Holy Spirit, can you see your spirit today? Can you sense at least what others sense coming from you? Yours might not be up here today. Again, this is not an exhaustive list. Yours might not be up here. And you might, from time to time, put off different spirits. But our goal is to have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and His attributes and His character and His fruit, that would be evident in our life and to others that we come in contact with. But I must say today, that if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you need to realize that someday you will die. And the spirit is the part of you that leaves the body. The spirit is the part of you that leaves the body, but your spirit is alive. Your soul is alive. And you will someday stand before God, and you will either wind up in heaven or hell. And if you've not asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you, when your spirit dies, it will go to hell. But Jesus, He came and He died on the cross for you so that that wouldn't happen. He died that you would have eternal life. He died so that your spirit would go to heaven. So to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, with your eternal destiny on the line, would any of you say, Pastor, I've not asked Jesus to be my Savior, but I want to today? I want to make sure of my eternal home. I want to make sure that heaven is mine and that my spirit goes to the right place. Forget about everything else that I've said about what kind of spirit you're putting off this morning. Forget about all that. We want to make sure that your spirit is right with God. We got to make sure that your heart is right with God this morning. Anybody here? I'm not going to embarrass you today, but I would like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? If I were to die today, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. Or no, I wouldn't go to heaven, but I want to make sure of that today. Anybody? Anybody at all? Okay, prayerfully and in meditation, let's sing this chorus. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Make it your prayer today. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. If you really are bold today, you could ask somebody else, what spirit do you sense coming from me? And you could be bold and you could do that today if you feel up to it. That's a shortcut in finding whether your spirit is like. But God bless you. You are dismissed.